Thanks for joining us for Religious Hard Talk. I am Ian Boyne. Arnella Rose did not want to face him, but Sheikh Abdullah Al-Faisal will today be challenged by a Christian. Today he will be challenged for the trenchant and some would say outrageous claims that he has made against the Christian faith in a Christian country. Bishop Joseph Adigol, a man known for spiritual warfare and for his work of pulling down spiritual strongholds, takes on this Muslim sheikh who has been feared in Britain, was deported from Britain to Jamaica. His name has been associated with bombings, with nefarious things, none of which has been absolutely proven in any court of law. The sheikh has been back here in Jamaica and is determined to spread Islam. He believes that if more Jamaicans know the facts about Islam, they will abandon Christianity, they will abandon Trinitarianism. He believes that Islam is the religion of truth, that Christianity is paganism. Well, today is debated. The Muslims are famous for their challenges to Christians and for their debates with Christians in many parts of the world, particularly in the Western world. Today, for the first time on Jamaican television, a Muslim and a Christian debate. I say television, well, of course, it's not only television. We're going out still on RJR 94 FM. We have with us Bishop Joseph Adigol of Overcomers World Ministries. And he will be debating with Sheikh Abdullah Al-Faisal. Bishop Adigol will speak for no more than 4 minutes, setting out his major arguments against Islam, showing why he's not a Muslim, why he could not be a Muslim. And then it will be the time for Sheikh Abdullah Al-Faisal to reply, to show his arguments against Christianity, why he could not be a Christian. This is another strong, trenchant, religious Hard Talk. Gentlemen, good to have you here.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Good to have you. I'm already told that I'm almost a convert to Islam, that I've been biased toward you, and I've been too pro-Islamic. We will see. Bishop, you're no longer than a 4 minute introduction to our debate today.
Let me just say, hi sir, I mean this is the first time of sitting right with you and Ian, yes. Greetings to you. I faced some serious decisions in terms of what kind of religion should I follow. I was born into a voodoo home.
In Nigeria, right.
I had my little god with two heads and I have to worship that god. And I was told that that was not the supreme god, but the supreme god will minister through the little god and then I can communicate to the god and then get to God in heaven. For some reasons it was quite puzzling because one wasn't too sure as to what is the real life, because I mean I cherish the little god, I bow before the god and I worship that god, but later on I realized that there was certainly no hope through the little god that I was given my tender age, from 5 years old that I've been given that little god. And so I began to search again, because one of my uncles is a Muslim, he's still a Muslim, and I began to learn from him because he wants to teach me in terms of what should I do. When I go to college, I realized that I have not made a decision in terms of what I would do. Christianity, I had a lot of missionaries around. Islam, I have my uncle and some other persons around me. And then the African religion, especially the Sango worship. But then one man approached me from Kaduna in Nigeria, where I schooled, and he promised to send me to Mecca. Yeah, he said he will send me to Mecca and he will give me a house. I came from quite a very poor home, so he wants to help me. Give me a house, send me to Mecca, and whatever I need to do, he's going to take responsibility. But the point is that I have to become a Muslim in order to get all those benefits. So I asked him to give me 2 days to think about it. And I went back and I began to think about it, because indeed I love to go to Mecca, and they will call me Alaji. I mean, as you know, in Nigeria, they call me an Alaji, so it would be good. But then I thought about it, and 2 days later I went back to him and I asked him one question. If you give me all of these things after death, what next? He paused for a while and he said, only Allah knows. At that point, I wouldn't know what to do next. I said to him, I cherish the future more than the now. Few things that I believe Islam has failed to understand is this. One, the uniqueness of the God of Christianity. And I think I'm going to come back to all of this. The uniqueness of the God of Christianity. Islam has failed to understand that Allah is not the same as the God of Christianity, which I'm going to be proving today. Two, the salvation in Islam is no point at all, because Islam has nothing to say about salvation. The whole salvation issue about Islam is just nothing but a trash as far as I'm concerned. It does not lead to heaven at all. Three, the issue of the morality in Islam. Islam has despised great morality when it comes to holiness. As we Christians, we emphasize the holiness of God. Islam does not emphasize holiness. For me, it does not matter what you want to give me. The holiness of God is key. Then, the whole aspect of the self-identification of Islam, especially Muhammad and Jesus Christ. In Islam, you say Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, and something follows it, peace be unto him or whatever. You know, in Islam, I don't have to say peace unto Jesus Christ. He's the source of peace. I mean, I
take your break at this point. The Sheikh now will give his introductory remarks.
All praise is due to Allah, who has created the angels from light, the jinns from smokeless fire, and human beings from clay. I testify to the fact that there is nothing in the heavens above nor the earth below which deserves to be worshipped except God. And I testify to the fact that Muhammad ibn Abdullah is his last prophet and messenger. The purpose of this debate is to bring to the awareness of the Jamaican people what is the truth and what is falsehood. The purpose of this debate is to pull the wool from the eyes of the Jamaican people, a wool which was placed over their eyes by evil European slave masters. Now, the reason why Christianity is not attractive to me, the reason I left Christianity, is because the Christians have a track record of incorporating things into their religion that are blasphemous in order to make it attractive to the people. People have to change their ways, their evil desires, their character, to catch up with the religion. You cannot change the religion to suit the people. You cannot tailor a religion to suit the people. In the year 325 CE, Emperor Constantine held a conference called the Conference of Nicaea. And at this conference, he incorporated paganism into Christianity. So they declare a prophet of God to be God himself, and that prophet is Jesus. So in order to make Christianity attractive to the Romans, who were pagans, they need to incorporate paganism into Christianity to attract the pagans into Christianity. Not only did he do that, but he killed the priest, the monks who were Unitarian Christians, who rejected the Trinity. So Origen was killed, a monk who lived between 185 to 254 AD. Then Lucian was killed, a monk who was killed 312 AD. Arius, the monk who lived between 250 to 336 AD, they were Unitarian Christians and they were killed. But how can a person incorporate paganism into Christianity and paint pictures of Jesus and said he is God, when God himself declared in Exodus 20 verse 4 that you are not allowed to make any graven images of God, because nothing in the skies, nothing on earth, and nothing in the sea resembles God? So how can a racial picture of a white person be portrayed in the holy places and said, this is God or the Son of God, and this was used to promote white supremacy ideas, and I should adhere to that religion. And why should I follow a religion which was shoved down our throats by evil European slave masters? And the same people who shove Christianity down our throats by force, they also shove human excrement down our throats. So I leave Christianity, or I left Christianity, because it strayed from the path which was laid out by all the prophets, by Jesus himself. Jesus himself said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm quoting to you from Mark 12, verse 28. He used the pronoun our. Our God is one. Later, after Jesus was raised up, Trinity was incorporated into Christianity. So it's no longer one God, but it's now three gods. So when we declare Christians pagans on this program, it's because they worship three gods: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Pungent introductory remarks by the Christian and the Muslim. This is going to turn out to be a most fascinating and scintillating interview, first ever done on the Jamaican media. A Muslim-Christian debate. This is, where else? Religious Hard Talk. Welcome back to Religious Hard Talk. Bishop Joseph Adigol has decided that he cannot let the challenge from Muslim Sheikh Abdullah Al-Faisal go without any rejoinder. He has decided that this man must be debated. We must not speak about him behind his back. We must not draw red herrings. We must face him as Christians and debate his ideas. And we have seen from that introductory remarks, the introductory remarks by the Sheikh, that he is prepared for a theological battle. This is not a man who is interested just in political Islam, but this is a man who passionately has certain theological disagreements with Christianity. He has come with his facts. He has brought the historical evidence of the persecution that Christians have committed against themselves. And Bishop Adigol has thrown down the gauntlet. He has said that this making Jesus into God is blasphemous. What are your comments on the Sheikh's presentation?
Well, it's interesting. What I see, and especially the whole aspect with the brethren in Islam is their focus on irrelevance and making it to be a point.
But Jesus is not irrelevant, Bishop. It's just central to Christianity. Can't be irrelevant. Just go on anyway. I don't want to disturb you.
But you are, because the truth is that I'm talking about irrelevance.
Okay.
Irrelevance is that the focus is on slave masters, the Europe, the Rome, and I'm talking about the doctrine of the Quran. I'm talking about the essence of the doctrines of Quran, which is very important. I have fought with white people. I changed my name two times simply because I just don't want to have anything to do with anything called Europe or slave masters. I did a research in Nigeria, all over Nigeria, because I want to know the truth about the slave masters. And I'm saying this, Ian, that the focus of my faith should not be based on European and what they do, but on the teaching of the scriptures that I believe in, which I want Sheikh to actually address more than talking about European masters and slave masters and colonial masters. Those are not very important to me. The fact is this, the Christianity in terms of Trinity, who is Sheikh or anybody else in the world to contest with what the scripture says? Trinity doesn't start from Rome. From Genesis chapter 1, come, let us make the world. Come, let us do this. That's the beginning of Trinity began from Genesis. It does not belong from one Roman Catholic priest or anybody. It's from the Genesis, the old concept of the Trinity. And that's what I'm saying. The language of the scriptures, one has to study it. The interpretation of the scriptures, one has to study it. I personally, in 1976, I was dying. I was lying on my deathbed when everybody gave me up. Gave up because they believe I'm going to die. I personally, and I'm saying this before God and man, I was lying on the bed when somebody came. The room was transformed. He stretched his hands, and I saw the nail prints in his hand, and he said, "I am Christ." I couldn't see his head because of the glory that entered into the room. And he said, "If you believe in me, I will heal you, and I will send you out." Immediately, I said, "I believe." I was a dying man. Nobody was able to help me again. Immediately, he said that the print in his hand, this is can be proven over and over. Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Jesus is God. It can be proven from the scriptures that Jesus is God.
Your view, Sheikh, you're saying the Bible itself is contradictory on this point.
Yes.
Because Jesus denied this.
Yes.
Your response to what Bishop was saying?
What he just said, he dug a hole for himself, and it's impossible for him to come out of this hole. I don't see how it's going to be possible for him to come out of this hole, because I'm going to use his own Bible to sink him further in the hole. Now, you held the Bible passionately and said it is the scripture.
Yeah.
So since that's the case, let's use your own scripture against you.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Matthew 21 verse 11, the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth." Likewise, in Luke 24 verse 19, the multitude said, "Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth." And the Bible said, "He is mighty indeed before God and all the people." In John 7 verse 40, many of the people therefore said of the truth, "This is Jesus the prophet." So you are claiming that Jesus is God, but your own Bible in Matthew 21 verse 11, Luke 24 verse 19, John 7 verse 40 said, "This is Jesus the prophet of Nazareth." I can give you these quotations after the debate.
No.